Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin.
Hi, this is Linda Thompson, your host for The Author Show. There are times in our lives when we find ourselves forever changed, our hearts altered in some ineffable way, like feral children stolen back from the wild, unable ever to be the way we were before. That's from the inside flap of today's featured book, Core Hollow, by guest author Ann Lafferty. Core Hollow is a story of survival and much, much more. So let's start talking. Anne, welcome to The Author Show.
Hello, Linda. I'm glad to be here.
Anne, will you share a quick overview of Core Hollow with our listeners?
Yes. Core Hollow describes how we lived as survivalists in the 1990s in the hills of western Wisconsin. But that said, it's really a book about family. It's a true story of family. We were striving against sometimes insurmountable odds, and we survived that too.
You've written other nonfiction books. Are they all about survival?
Not all of them, though I will say one of them, Good Looking Old Women, Survival of the Fittest, has to do with keeping ourselves in shape as we get older and surviving.
If you were writing an article about Core Hollow, what would the headline be?
Survivalism seeks the triumph of the human spirit against odds and maybe a little against the status quo. There's a pinch of anarchy and rebellion in all survivalists, believe me.
Who did you have in mind as the perfect reader for Core Hollow?
I believe that many women who have lived a little, and some men, will see large pieces of themselves in our family. We were visionaries. We overlooked reality. In fact, our search for the seemingly unobtainable will certainly ring a bell in a lot of people's lives.
How would you describe your writing style in your books?
It has been described to me as lyrical.
You mentioned that your time in Core Hollow was spent off the grid as a survivalist. How long did you live this way?
We lived for 20 years off the grid as survivalists.
Wow. Okay. Now, you say that Core Hollow is a family story of survival and the struggle for redemption. That's a lot of stuff to deal with. So how did you fit all of that into your story?
Well, I think we used 1 year. I went through 1 year of our lives. And, of course, all this didn't happen in a year. But basically, we loved our wild land, and there was a kind of a spirit upon the place. It's kind of running through everything. We miss it even today. But life struggles and go on even in remote conditions. For instance, during that year, the year that's portrayed in Core Hollow, my son had brain surgery. Our family would be considered dysfunctional. My husband became mentally unstable and wanted to kill me.
Okay, it's not very often that this show host is speechless, but you got me there. So how did you get through all of that while you're still basically living out in the woods?
First, for a little discussion of mental illness, I know people say things to me like, how come you didn't know what was going on? Families of the mentally ill are kind of like frogs in hot water sometimes. They often don't realize the temperature is rising until a serious blow-up occurs. And you have to remember that extremism is part of the survivalist mindset. So I may not have realized some things were winging way out into left field. And I have to say, some things I lost forever, but the things that are gained are really what count.
You mentioned that your son had brain surgery during your time in Core Hollow. Did you have other children, and how did they react to this style of living?
I had other children. My oldest son, who is known as Raphael in the story, had an accident at work, and it harmed his back, but they gave him a scan, of course, and during that scan, it was discovered that he had a brain tumor. And it was in a place where if they didn't remove it, he would probably die. And so that was accomplished, not without its own complications. My other two, Jael and Gabriel, were just a year apart, and they were quite a bit younger than Raphael. Raphael was 19 when he had the surgery, and the other two were 13 and 14.
How did the family adjust to leaving Core Hollow when you decided to leave and come back to the electronic, over-automated, rushed world that most of us just accept?
The children grew up and they left home, and of course they had to enter the real world, or the world that you live in and I live in now. And that was difficult because there's something, as that quote says, there are times in our lives when we find ourselves forever changed. Our hearts were altered in some strange way, and you're almost feral when you leave a place like that. And my daughter often says to me, in fact, we were talking on the phone the other day, and she said to me, you know, we're different since we left Cor Hollow, and we're always going to be different than other people because of our experiences there.
When you mentioned your son had surgery after having an accident at work, so what you're telling me is that you did leave the area in order to make a living. You just chose to actually live your life away from society. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct in this sense that by the time my son had to have his brain surgery, he had left home and was making a living. In fact, he was a police officer, so he's quite a bit older than the other two. And yes, my husband at that time, Dade, was a construction worker. He had his own construction business, and yes, he made us a living outside of Cor Hollow.
I would be willing to bet that most of our listeners are asking themselves, why in the world did they decide to do this in the first place? So that's my question. Why did you choose to live off the grid like this?
You know, I've been asked that so many times, and I have to go back to like 1980 or so. We were living, actually we were city people, we were living in the middle, the center of a big city. My husband had his construction business. I worked in adult education there. We were totally citified. But I used to really love books written by survivalists back then, such as Helen and Scott Nearing. And in fact, in that time, remember, we just kind of slid out of the hippie era when everybody was doing their own thing, going back to the land, going barefoot, dropping out, tuning up, and really, and I think that that is what inspired it. The whole idea of, I had this idealized version of, we're going to raise our own food, we're going to cook it on wood fires, we're going to build our own home, and yeah, some of that really happened, but we were totally captured by the mythology of it as well.
Did you have any visitors while you were living like this, or was it just your family segregated from everyone else?
Oh, no. We had, in fact, big dinner parties and everything else, if you can believe that. We didn't even have indoor plumbing. But we had a lot of people living in that area were Mennonite people, and that's brought up in Cor Hollow. They would come over to our house, and we'd have a big spread, because they lived somewhat off the grid, too. We'd have a big spread. We were all musicians, so we played music, and we sang, and we really had a lot of fun.
Have you returned to Cor Hollow since you left, and was it with anticipation, dread, or a combination of both?
It was with dread, because after I left Cor Hollow, and I left under kind of under duress, my husband passed away, and he died at Cor Hollow. Between the time I left and the time he died, I never went back there. So the very first time that I ever returned to Cor Hollow was for my husband's funeral.
I'm so sorry to hear that. What would you say is the take-home message for your readers of Cor Hollow?
Cor Hollow is about the triumph of the human spirit against odds, maybe a little against the status quo, but this is really what it's all about. It's the redeeming factor is we try to survive, and in doing so, our hearts and minds are changed. Adversity is really the mother of change for people. It's an aura about these books. I haven't looked them over again for a while because they were in editing and so forth. And I think Thomas Wolfe said, you can't go home again, and he was right as far as he went. But you can go back to that mythical land in books, and he just forgot to add that.
You've also written Hawkins Creek. How does it compare with Cor Hollow?
It's a sequel to Cor Hollow. One day I had to run away from home, and I ended up on Hawkins Creek. The dog ended up there too, by the way, for any of you who have read Cor Hollow. No, Hawkins Creek is another struggle. It's against illness, abandonment, rural poverty, and it has the redeeming factor of romantic love. The husband I have today, and I'll make this very brief, he was really a wonderful friend of mine in high school. I was 2 years older than he was. Of course, you don't look at a guy that's just a kid, right? But we loved each other. And then, of course, I married someone else, and he went on and married someone else. And exactly a bunch of years went by, and we never saw each other. And exactly 2 weeks after my first husband's funeral, he emailed me.
What a wonderful story. So did he live in Hawkins Creek with you?
No. We both originally come from Illinois. He lived in a little town called Roscoe, Illinois. He was kind of a little Opie kid living in this dusty little town. And I was a country girl. I lived right outside of it. But, you know, we came a long way to Hawkins Creek.
So you've lived a life that's totally foreign to him. Did the books help him understand it?
They did. I lived a life foreign to him, and that's true, and it's foreign to a lot of people. And I think my mindset is quite a bit different than the average person's. I hate to say that, but it's true. But in some ways, he and I always had like a visceral connection from childhood. And so he did love my books, and he did understand where I was coming from after he read them.
If you could compare Core Hollow with any other, what would that other book be?
I would actually compare it to something like The Hunger Games, because there's the striving, the transforming power of suffering and loss. And, of course, like I said, there's a pinch of anarchy and rebellion in all survivalists, believe me.
What kind of feedback have you had from readers so far?
The people who have loved the books, and there have been quite a few of them, they love the poignancy of it. Reviewing, going back to a time which was simpler, and yet they were always kind of startled by the underlying haunt of darkness, which was part of it, just followed us everywhere. Because, of course, when you have someone sinking into mental illness and you don't really understand that, and you're totally dependent on that person, it just adds kind of a dark tone to something that would be a wonderful experience.
Where can we learn more about you, about your other books, and where can we purchase Core Hollow?
Well, one of the easiest places to purchase Core Hollow, and by the way, they're on Kindle now, is at Amazon, but they're also on Goodreads, Barnes & Noble, if you have a Nook, iTunes. You can visit my author page, Ann Lafferty, Amazon. There's an author page. And you can visit my Facebook page, Core Hollow Media, because there are all the pictures for my books, including those cats from Hawkins Creek.
What about your website, Good Looking Old Women?
That's my blog, goodlookingoldwomen.com, survival of the finest. Now, this blog is aimed at women 55 and up. And it's kind of a rebellion there, too. Because I think just because we're growing older, we don't need to accept the status quo of illness, disability, getting creaky and old. We may need to ditch some of our former habits and make a run for it. But my blogs cover everything an older woman might want to know and isn't afraid to ask. My latest title is The Free Body Scan. You want to hear about that?
Yes.
The Free Body Scan is very simple. It goes like this. You walk into the bathroom and shut the door. You remove all of your clothes and you stand in front of a full-length mirror. Because your body on the outside is telling you probably what's going on in the inside.
Interesting. So in the minute we have left, Ann, please share one thing about Core Hollow with our listeners that will be an incentive for them to buy and read it.
I think it's a family story. So if you like family, it works. Also, we had a lot of comical animal family as well, because when you are seriously dependent upon animals like cows or a dog that helps you, a person develops an almost telepathic mental connection with them. Now, that's not always good. In fact, it can be kind of bad at times because they're putting their thoughts into your mind all the time. I think it is family, it is funny, but it also has its moments of poignancy and loss. It's about gaining and losing. You lose something forever, and we lost Core Hollow. But the things we gain are what really count.
And I can't begin to tell you how much I have enjoyed talking with you today. Thank you for sharing your story and Core Hollow with us. I'm sure you've captured the interest of our audience, and you certainly captured mine. Will you please come back when you release your next book?
I'll come back for Hawkins Creek. Don't worry about that.
Core Hollow is a true story of a family survival, and within this story is a strange dichotomy. The harsh, wild landscape of Core Hollow combined with the familiar warmth of family, yet underlying it all, a waiting haunt of darkness. Core Hollow is the tale of a power and endurance of the human spirit and its remarkable capacity to prevail and form intense, enduring bonds. If you enjoy country living or just imagining living off the grid, Core Hollow provides a look into that lifestyle. Please visit theauthorsshow.com to listen to other featured authors. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide, on demand, every day, 24/7. If you have written a book and would like to be a guest on the show, visit theauthorsshow.com, complete the interview request form, and we will contact you shortly thereafter. The Author Show is a great way to market your book by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality interview that will make a real impact. Join us again for another great book and another exciting author on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-55-8800. Or visit theauthorsshow.com. Theauthorsshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.